speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Well, for our lesson today, while Jesus was teaching in the temple, the elders of the people came to him with a question. They asked, "By what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority?" In answering this question, Jesus asked them a rather probing question. His question was, "The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men?" Those questions in Matthew 21, verse 23 through 25. For various reasons, those who tried to entrap Jesus could not answer this question. In his answer, we learn a most valuable lesson. Concerning religion, there are only two sources of authority, God or man. Of these two sources, only one is the rightful source, God. The right standard of authority is important because when our authority is men, our worship is vain. Our Lord said in Matthew 15, verse 9, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And whatsoever we do in word or deed, we must do all in the name of the Lord or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, Colossians 3, verse 17. Since God is the only rightful source of religious authority, how does God communicate with man? The answer is the Bible, and only the Bible. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God is a term that literally means God breathed. Just as we breathe out words, God breathed out the words of the Bible. Well, how did he accomplish this? Peter wrote, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit," 2 Peter 1:21. God is the originator and the source, and holy men wrote his words as the Holy Spirit guided them. So God is the author, and holy men of God, such as Moses and the prophets and the apostles, were the writers. When we study the Bible, we're studying the Creator's will for his creation. We're studying God's Word. The Bible is not simply a book of words in which it does not really matter whether we read them or not. The Bible does not contain words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:13. He further explained, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ," Ephesians 3:4. The Bible is, as David said, "a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path," Psalms 119, verse 105. The Bible is God's authority. And to be approved of God, we must give diligence to study the Bible, handling it accurately as the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. The Bible does not simply contain the will of God. It is the complete will of God. It's God's standard of authority. The Bible and the Bible alone is God's communication with man. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." And since God has provided all things that pertain unto life and godliness, then there is nothing beyond what is found within Scripture that we need for spiritual life or godliness. There is not another revelation about Christ. The Bible is God's complete revelation. And since Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, would teach them all things, would bring all things to their remembrance, would guide them into all truth, then the apostles had all truth and revealed unto us all truth. To reject the apostles' message is to reject Jesus, to reject God the Father. For the Lord Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 16, "He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And consider Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:37. Since the apostles received and recorded the truth, it's therefore God's complete revelation of truth. Additionally, since the Scriptures will thoroughly furnish the man of God unto all good works, bring him unto perfection, as we're taught in 2 Timothy 3:17, then what more is needed? What more could something beyond Scripture furnish us? Why would we need any more than that which can bring us unto perfection? The Bible is God's complete revelation to man. And even further, consider Revelation 22:18-19. There God commands that we're to not add to nor take away from His Word. You find a similar warning in Proverbs 30:5-6, Deuteronomy 4. And if we do either, that is, add to or take from, God will punish us by adding to us plagues or by taking away our inheritance. Why are we not to add to nor take away from the Bible? Because the Bible is the complete Word of God. To change it by adding to it or taking from it is more than what is necessary. It takes away from what is necessary if we take away from it. To change perfection is to defile it, to make it imperfect. No wonder Paul pronounced this curse upon those who would pervert the gospel. Galatians 1:8-9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Again, the Bible is a complete revelation of God. And let us not change it by adding to it. Let us not alter it by taking away from it. Let us have the courage to accept it and to act upon its divine instruction. Now, since the Bible is from God, and since it's complete, we must also understand that it is authoritative. Authoritative is a word that means that the Bible should be the standard for which all is done in matters pertaining to religion. To the church at Colossae, Paul wrote, Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, what is it to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus? To do something in the name of is to do it by His or her authority. In Acts 4:7, the priests and the elders of the Jews asked the apostles, by what power or by what name have you done this? Referring to the man who had been healed. They were asking about the source of the apostles' strength and their authority to perform miracles. And Peter answered them, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands here before you whole today. Acts 4:10. The authority of the apostles was Jesus. And so it should be with us. The Bible should be our source of authority. In order to avoid chaos, a standard of authority is essential. This is true in our homes, in our schools, in our government, in the church. An organization with too many chiefs is a jumbled up mess. There needs to be a head. In the church, Christ is head, Ephesians 1:22. His word, the Bible, is the standard of authority. A failure to recognize this authority will result in division. This was the problem in Israel during the time of the judges. We read twice, Judges 17:6, Judges 21:25. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Rather than recognizing the right standard of authority, that is God, their standard of authority was themselves. And sadly, Such is often the case today. True unity can only be accomplished when all recognize the right standard of authority. It's not enough to recognize it, though. One must be willing to follow it. It's not enough to claim the Bible as our authority. One must be willing to follow it and submit his or her own will to the Bible. This was the problem that Jesus addressed in Luke 6, verse 46. When he asked this soul-searching question, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" They recognized his authority, but were not following it. Until every person recognizes the Bible as authoritative and submits to its precepts, then and only then will true unity be accomplished among all men. In Revelation 20, verse 12, concerning the judgment when all men will appear before God, John records these words, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Of the books that will be opened on Judgment Day, we know from this passage that at least three books will be opened. We know that there is the book of life. This book is a record of all the names of the faithful of the ages. And those found within the book will be clothed in white raiment, Revelation 3, verse 5. Another book that will be opened on Judgment Day is a record of man's deeds, since the text says that judgment will be according to their works. So God keeps an account of each person's deeds. You learn also that in Matthew 16, 27, 1 Peter 1, verse 17. The final book that would be open is God's Word, the Bible. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him the last day." John 12, verse 48. Just as the judge will judge according to a nation's laws, on Judgment Day all men will stand before God and be judged according to God's eternal word, the Bible. And since we will be judged according to God's word, it must be our final authority. Have you opened the book of life, the book of God, the Bible? Have you obeyed the first principles of the gospel to become one of his children? Do you believe in Christ? "Except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins," John 12, verse 24. Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed the name of Christ? Have you baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? Are you faithfully worshiping and serving him? Until the next time I come your way, I bid you a pleasant good afternoon.